Rituals, Book 1, Dwindling Magic. Written and read by T.D. L. White. Chapter 1, That Stupid Crow. It was only after the road became so narrow that the sky completely disappeared between tall hedgerows that Nick started to worry. The heavy traffic of the motorway was a long way behind them. This was proper countryside now, rolling hills through fields and woods with a distinct lack of any other vehicles. Couldn't have been more different from the walk to St. Mark's down Dunstable Road, which is where Nick really should have been at 8:10 on a Monday morning. The worry wasn't about what was happening to him. Nick's grasp of the situation was basic, but he didn't think he was in danger. It was the why that was concerning him. Why had someone called the inspector, phoned his mum, completely out of the blue, on the last Sunday night of the summer holidays? Why had they arranged for a car to collect him stupidly early the next day? And why were they delivering him to a totally new school that he'd never even heard of, that was miles and miles away from anywhere? That was what was causing the uneasy feeling that had started to percolate around his stomach. Well, that and the fact that he strongly suspected this was all because of that stupid crow.
"Nearly there," the driver said, his voice deep and raspy.
It fitted well with his large, weather-lined hands. They were the first words that he'd spoken since they left Luton. Nick didn't even know the man's name. He'd never laid eyes on him before he climbed into the car that morning. He shifted his bag from one side of his lap to the other and pushed his head and shoulders back into the passenger seat. Whatever it was made of creaked softly when he moved. It was the most comfortable seat he'd ever sat in the nicest car he'd ever been in. It was sleek and expensive, and everything inside it was either jet black or glowed like the control panels of an alien spaceship. Perhaps that was why he'd forgotten to do any worrying until now. They slowed, the engine noise dropping from a soft purr to a low rumble. Nick had wondered if the car was electric, but he'd spotted a fuel gauge on the dashboard that told him otherwise. The tall hedge on their left thinned out to reveal a great stone wall, and they cruised along beside the wall for a short while before it was breached by a large metal gate. They pulled onto a wide gravel driveway in front of the gate, wheels crunching to a standstill. Through the tinted passenger window, Nick saw the gate slowly opening to allow them through. There was no sign to say what was on the other side of the wall, just a long gravel road that meandered away through a forest of huge silver-trunked trees. Must have been something important, though. The wall wouldn't have looked out of place if it were wrapped around the Tower of London. Nick had no idea where he was, but it didn't matter. Deep down, he knew it would all turn out to be a mistake, and he'd be back at home by the end of the day. He hugged his rucksack to his chest. He'd kept hold of it even though his mum had wanted to put it in the boot with his clothes. There was no way he was letting it out of his sight. His mum had sighed and kissed his forehead, and the next thing Nick knew, she was smiling and waving at him as the car took him away. She hadn't looked worried, had she? But then she didn't know anything about the laptop in his bag, or that stupid crow. The trees on either side fell back, and the drive opened out to reveal a building that Nick could only describe as a castle. It had two towers with battlements on top, and windows and balconies, and a sort of dome thing that shone like a golden beacon as it caught a glimpse of the fleeting morning sunlight. "Where are we?" he managed to say, craning his neck to look for any signs of an actual real school. The castle had a massive wooden door, crisscrossed with studded metal reinforcements that looked like it was built to keep marauding armies at bay. They could use a door like that back at St. Mark's to help keep the kids from bunking after lunch.
Twitchell's,
the driver said, following the gravel road around an ornate fountain in front of the building. Twitchell's. That was what the posh man had called it on the phone the night before. But he hadn't mentioned what it looked like. The school is a castle. Probably what that stupid crow wanted, to send him to a castle in the middle of nowhere, miles away from home. They didn't stop in front of the wooden door. They continued past it, following the gravel around the side of the building. To Nick's surprise, they ended up parking right outside a modern glass and steel structure that had been fused onto the back of the old stone castle. On one side of the car was a large, mostly empty car park, and on the other, a set of low steps led up to the school's entrance, a sliding door, and above the door the word Twitchell's was written in shiny metal letters a foot high. Very expensive and modern, more like the state-of-the-art headquarters of a tech company than a school for kids like Nick. The driver pushed a button under the steering wheel before getting out. There was a click and a hiss as the boot opened automatically. What a car! It was like magic. Would they drive him back home in this car? He hoped so. He couldn't remember the last time he'd even been in a car. His mum didn't have one, nor did his granddad, so it was always bikes and buses and walking. Taxis were not an option, not on Nick's budget. The car ride almost made up for having to get up so early. His door opened, the cold morning air far less welcoming than the warm seat. The driver had one hand on the door, and in the other he held Nick's clothes bag, a tatty supermarket bag for life that he'd quickly stuffed with a few t-shirts and some underwear. A short cough from the driver told Nick the ride was most definitely over. Now it was new school nerves for at least as long as it took for someone to work out that this was all a mistake and send him back home. Unfolding himself from the seat, he stood up, swinging his bag onto his back. Then he paused and reached back into the car to have one last feel of the soft, warm seat material. Another cough from the driver. He took his clothes bag and walked slowly up the steps to the half-castle, half-high-tech office. Without a sound, the door slid open automatically as he approached. He went inside. White tiles gleamed on the floor as if they had been polished moments before he stepped on them. It was so clean, he wondered if he should have taken his shoes off before entering. His granddad always insisted on shoes off inside, but then, when you stepped into his granddad's flat, you were right in the front room. There were some modern-looking curvy chairs on a polygon of dark blue carpet near the door. Past that carpet was a counter made of some shining grey stone with a man in a suit behind it looking at a computer screen. Nick lingered near one of the chairs and the man looked up.
Laundry isn't until tomorrow.
His voice was surprisingly high-pitched and very posh. He could have been a minor royal, or perhaps a lord or a duke. The man sighed.
I suppose I can take care of it if it's uniform. Bring it here.
He beckoned Nick with a dainty wave.
Laundry,
Nick managed to say. His suspicions about this being a mistake heightened. He might not even be in a school at all.
You've got a bag of clothes, so I...
The man looked down at the screen.
Ah, Nick Thompson, I presume.
Nick nodded.
Apologies for the mix-up. I thought you'd wandered over from C Block. We weren't expecting you quite yet. I'm guessing the traffic was unusually light. Tell the driver to fetch your bags, and I'll call the inspector to let him know you're here.
Nick turned around and saw the driver and the car heading back the way they'd came. He turned back to an awkward silence. The man clearly wasn't used to kids carrying their own belongings. Nick broke the silence by holding up his tatty bag for life in a this-is-all-I-have gesture. The man frowned for a moment, then picked up a phone off the counter and held it to his ear.
The new student. He's here.
He glanced at Nick while listening to the other side of the conversation and then put the phone down.
Feel free to take a seat. The inspector won't be a moment.
Nick sat down on one of the curvy chairs, which was actually pretty comfy, and looked out at the car park. He still couldn't be sure that he was in a real school, but at least the man at the counter had used the word student to describe him. He looked at his bag of clothes and tucked a dangling sock back inside. It was hardly enough to last a weekend. His mum had said he wouldn't need more than that, but what did she know about schools that looked like castles?
Nick, it's good to finally meet you in person.
It was the voice from the phone call. Nick looked up from his bag to see another man in a suit, older than the receptionist and more softly spoken, though still posh, walking towards him. The man's shoes clicked on the polished floor until they were silenced by the carpet right in front of Nick.
I spoke to you and your mother last night on the phone. Sorry about the short notice, but I believe we have everything in place. I'm Mr. Whelan, but everybody knows me as the inspector.
Short notice? It wasn't even 10 hours since the phone call. The inspector held out his hand. Nick looked at it, protruding from the crisp white shirt, clean with perfectly cut nails, the polar opposite of the driver's.
We shake hands here at Twitchell's, he said in a matter-of-fact tone. You'll get used to it.
Nick put his clothes bag onto the chair next to him and shook the inspector's hand. It was smooth, warm and dry, not unlike the feel of the car seat. Before he could catch himself, Nick let out a yawn.
Ah, yes, you had an early start this morning, and it's going to be a very long day, I'm afraid. But I'm sure the excitement of a new school will keep you firing on all cylinders. We've got some time before everything kicks off. Have you had breakfast?
No.
Well then, we'll get you settled in your room and then talk over some food in the canteen. Follow me.
He turned and walked back to the counter, where the receptionist handed him something green. Nick gathered up his things and joined them.
You'll need to wear this at all times, the inspector said, holding up an ID badge on the end of a green lanyard. It controls your access around the building. Without it, the doors won't open. Give it a try. First, without the badge.
He waved the lanyard toward the door that led from reception into the building. Nick looked at the door.
Go on. Give it a pull.
After a slight hesitation, Nick tried the door. It wouldn't budge.
Now, put this on.
The inspector handed the ID badge to Nick. The badge had a barcode on it and a picture of Nick. He didn't know where they'd got the picture from. He'd never seen it before. But it was recent enough to show the shadow of the thin, wispy hairs that had started to form on his top lip. He pulled it over his head and tried the door again. This time it opened easily.
There you go. Wart would be proud, the inspector said cheerfully. Now, follow me.
He strode past Nick and down a corridor that was just as shiny and clean as the reception area. Nick paused on the threshold, holding onto the door handle. Unsure about why he was there, unsure about what was beyond, and unsure about, well, everything. If this was a mistake, it seemed like a very well-organized mistake, and it was being made by people that knew exactly what they were doing.
Why?
He started to say, but he couldn't think of a way to ask everything he wanted to know in one question.
Why are you here? The inspector finished. A reasonable question to ask before following a stranger into an unknown building. Let me reassure you. Twitchell's is one of the best schools in the country, in the world. I would say that being here is about as good as being anywhere else. Better, perhaps.
Is it? Nick needed to know.
Is it because of that crow? He said quickly.
That crow, the inspector said quietly, a slight frown forming as he spoke. The man's eyes flicked toward the receptionist for a split second before returning to Nick. Nick felt his face reddening and immediately wished he hadn't mentioned the stupid bird. It was already bad enough that they'd accidentally sent him to a place like this. Now they'd probably think he was mad and send him somewhere worse. The inspector glanced back at the counter again. This time Nick followed his gaze and saw that the receptionist had wandered over to the chair where Nick had sat and was wiping it down with a cloth.
Yes, the inspector said, his voice serious and quiet,
but only for that single word. Then it returned to normal.
We can discuss the finer points of the admission criteria later, but for now, let's get you something to eat.
He set off down the corridor at a brisk pace.
Come on, young man, let's not waste more time. Breakfast awaits.
Nick shook his head.
I knew it was that stupid crow, he thought, before hurrying after the inspector and through the door into Twitchell's.
This podcast was brought to you by me, T.D.L. White, and I'll be reading a chapter a week until it's complete.